So the scripture lesson today, this is from Acts chapter 8, verses 14 through 17. Now when the apostles at Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent to them Peter and John, who came down and prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Spirit. For he had not yet fallen on any of them, but they had only been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Then they laid their hands on them, and they received the Holy Spirit. So you guys get a little background today. So I use the liturgy to decide what the scriptures are going to be. And that means every week there's four things for me to look at. There's going to be two New Testament reading, a Gospel and New Testament reading, a Psalm, and an Old Testament reading. And what I do is I go through there, and sometimes, you know what, when I read them, I go, I know exactly what that sermon could be about when I read that. And sometimes when I read them, I go, I have no idea what to do with that. And a lot of times, I skip to the next one because it's easy for me. And we all have a tendency to do things that are easy for us. Now, I will tell you, that is not what happened this week, because I may be the only one here today. There are a couple things in religion that I have a hard time with the concept. The Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, which is kind of what we're talking about here today, that always gives me kind of an issue on how they work together. Now, I meant to look this up and I forgot. What's the book that somebody wrote where, and they made a movie out of it, where it kind of tries to explain that God is a black woman, the shack. Thank you. Now, I know that the shack is not biblically correct, but for me, and it's a real short book, if you haven't read it, read it, it made it make a little more sense to me how the Trinity worked together, okay? Not saying it's biblically correct, but it just made sense to me. Well, this Holy Spirit, Holy Ghost idea is another one of those things that I sort of have a hard time with. So what I did today is I picked out at the beginning two different scriptures for us to read. This first one's from Luke. It's chapter 1, verses 35. And the angel answered her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God." And so that Spirit's talking to Mary then. And then this is from Luke 3:22. "And the Holy Spirit descended on him in bodily form like a dove, and a voice came from heaven, 'You are my beloved Son, with you I am well pleased.'" And so that's God through the Holy Spirit telling Jesus when he's being baptized. And so this concept of the Holy Spirit is hard for me, and I've already told you guys that. So John Wesley, if we have a tendency to think that John Wesley just sort of had everything together and everything was okay. He was just like the rest of us. He had trouble. And so when he was kind of not on good sorts with the Church of England, they sent him to the United States. And so he actually lived in Virginia for a year or so. They ended up telling him he had to go back to England because he got in trouble. And when he goes back to England, he's in downtown London. And so when we were in London a couple years ago, we went to this place. Now, I don't know what the city looked like in the mid-1700s, but the sign where it says this is where John Wesley recognizes he felt God's Spirit, it's on the second floor of a building. Okay, I don't know how it got there, but it's called Aldersgate. And so when you see Methodist things, it talks about Aldersgate, that's where that comes from. But when John Wesley wrote about that experience, he said it was a change which God works in the heart, so he's talking about himself, through faith in Christ. And so for himself, he says, "I felt my heart strangely warmed, an assurance that he had taken away all my sins." And so for him, that's how he felt the Holy Spirit. And so for a better way, I think, to describe it is, it's the power of God, how God moves through us. Now on the service tonight, because I'm going to I have a tendency, because I'm thinking about one thing, one place, then it works its way into the next service. But tonight, one of the things I'm going to talk about in the Holy Spirit is it becomes an encourager. It becomes a leader, a guide for us, but it might be in different ways. And so when I was talking about the watch, one of the questions is, when people come to you, and a lot of times I think God sent them to you, and they are trying to guide and direct you, and that's the way God did it. Because I tell you guys all the time, I've been in church before, and because we sat way in the back at Yorktown, sorry. I was a front person, but my wife was a back person. So I did what every man would do. We sat in the back, right? Right, because we're not stupid. Well, we might be stupid, but we're not going to be that stupid. And so we sat in the back. And so sometimes I'd be thinking about stuff, and I would go, yeah, I could do that, but I don't really want to do that. And I'd almost hear God's voice saying, you know what, Ed, you can do that. But a lot of times I would just not do it. I would not follow what God was asking me to do. And I don't know about you guys, but I'm just talking about me now. I wouldn't listen to that voice to do what God wanted me to do. And so the last thing I wrote up here was that Holy Spirit, that Holy Ghost, whatever you want to call it, becomes active and present in every stage of our Christian experience. Now, I think it's around us all the time. I just don't think we always recognize it. Now, I don't know if that's our fault because we're not paying attention or we're thinking about something else, or it wasn't really meant for us at that particular place and time. Could have been meant for somebody else. And I think I've told you guys before, at Yorktown one time, Bill Kaiser gave an Easter speech, or his sermon. And have you ever been to an Easter service that the resurrection wasn't talked about? Okay, he did it on this Sunday. He talked about something entirely different. Now, it worked into God being in our lives, but it wasn't about the resurrection. And he caught all kinds of what for because he didn't do that. And he finally said to him, he said, how many of those people that were at church this day that you're telling me I should have told that story to, how many of them only come once or twice a year? Probably a third. And he said, is any of them there never heard the story of the resurrection? And they went, well, no. And he said, so they didn't need to hear that story again because clearly it's not making a difference to them because they are not making God part of their lives. They only come to church those two times a year because they think they're supposed to. And he said, so I chose not to deliver that same message that they've heard before. And has it made any difference in their lives? Now, for me, the reason I remember that is because for me, that was a day that I was kind of wondering how great my faith was. And I couldn't tell you exactly what Bill said that day, but whatever it was, I knew at the end of the service, my faith was a lot stronger than I was giving it credit for. So at the same time, they're haranguing, it's a word I like to use, they're haranguing Bill about the service he did. It was probably the most meaningful service that he ever gave, as far as I was concerned. And so sometimes that message, that voice, God's Spirit working around us, it's not our message, it's for somebody else. Now the question is, when it's our turn, do we recognize it? So I've got two examples for you here. Well, I'm going to read this from 1 Corinthians first. So even though it says 8 and 9, I'm going to read verse 10 on the next one. And next week's message is going to be mostly about this same verse. For to one is given through the Spirit the utterance of wisdom, to another the utterance of knowledge according to the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts by healing by the one Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another the ability to distinguish between spirits, to another various kinds of tongue, to another the interpretation of tongues. Now there's a lot of stuff going on there, but basically he's talking about gifts. Whatever your gifts are. And I found out today we have one more flute player in the group, and we're encouraging her to play with us in a month or so, because maybe that's her gift, it's music. Judy was kind of questioning today that music was one of her gifts, and so here's what I told Cliff, because I invited him to come up and sing too, he declined. he said, I don't think anybody wants to hear me. And I said, you know, really nobody cares. Because they're all sitting there going, whew, that could have been me. Right? Is there anybody in here that's not thinking that? Right? And so sometimes we're just glad, we're joyful that it's not us. It's not that we couldn't do it. We might not be the best. We might not be Sandy Patty, but we can all sing. So it's either joyful or like a clanging bell. But it's one of those two things. But we can all sing. And so we all have these different gifts, and next week's message is going to be about gifts. And so for us, it's important for us to figure out what those gifts are. Now, God will direct us and guide us, and sometimes he has to guide us more than once, because sometimes we're going, well, yeah, you think that's my gift, but I'm not going to do that. I want to do this. But eventually, he'll get us back to where we're supposed to be, whatever that is. So I got two examples for you. When I was at Sugar Grove in Bethel, there were 12 churches that took turns going up and doing the Sunday afternoon service at Miller's Merry Manor in Dunkirk. But because I was a two-point charge, I got to go twice. So basically, once a month, I was going to get to go. Now, how many of you have ever been to a service at a nursing home? Does it always go as people would expect? No. Because this is what can happen. You're in the middle of the most solemn song, the most reverent verse out of the Bible that you've ever said. And here's what you hear. I want to go back to my room now, and I don't know why I'm here. Has anyone ever heard that before at a nursing home? And it's a pretty regular occurrence. And so the thing about being there is that you have to be prepared to know that whatever you have planned for that day, whatever you think you're going to do for that day, it may not work out the way that you think it's going to do it. Now, the best thing about going to a nursing home and doing a service, and this has happened at every nursing home. I did two at Middletown when I was there, and we did the one at Dunkirk. You will have somebody, and you will give them a hymnal. And the nursing staff, aides, whatever, they'll say to you, they don't really talk anymore. They just don't talk. Whatever's wrong with them, they just don't talk. And so you'll sing, and usually because you have to pick things that everybody knows that are pretty common, so you pick out a hymn, let's say Amazing Grace. And those same people that they say really don't read or talk anymore, you will see them sing that hymn. And so there's something about God's Spirit that works through people that even when they've got to a point physically or mentally or whatever the issue is, somehow those hymns still come back to them. And I just didn't see that once or twice. I would see that on a regular basis. And it wasn't always the same person. And so at Miller's Merry Manor, there was always about 30 people there. It was almost always 28 women and a couple men. I don't know if the men didn't come, if they were already gone, weren't with us anymore, but it was almost always a women's group. And so there were two ladies from Sugar Grove that would meet up with, and they would help lead the singing. So we had done some songs, and when we're doing the singing, I thought, you know what, this just feels different today. There's just a different feel in this room. And the room, it was like their cafeteria area, so it may have been like back to TJ, but just like this side of the room was the area we were in. And you could just feel a different feel that day. And so we would normally sing a couple songs, and then we would have a scripture reading and a short message, and then we would finish with some songs at the end. And when we got to the end, one of the ladies, and she didn't come very often, she stood up and said, I think I need to say this. I don't know what's different about today, but I feel God's Spirit over this whole room today. And I thought to myself, you know what? I do too. I wonder if it's just the two of us. I wonder if we all feel that way. And so she talked a little bit, and then we sang our last couple of hymns. And usually we would visit with people that you could visit with as you were leaving. And so we left. Well, the two ladies from Sugar Grove, because I came from Bethel to there, we didn't ride up together. But the next Sunday at church, I said, hey, what did you guys think about the service at Miller's Merry Manor Sunday? And they said, before the lady stood up, and they knew her name, I don't remember it, before she stood up and said that, she said, we were both, when we were talked on the car on the way home, We were both saying we felt the same thing. And so that, and it didn't happen every time, but that time at Miller's, you could feel the Spirit of God in that room differently than any time before. And I don't know why. I mean, it was mostly the same people, but there was something different about that, the Spirit in the room that day. And so I can't tell you why or if it was us, or, but there was just a different feeling. And so when we talk about God's Holy Spirit, that's one of those times where I really felt it, that I noticed it. Not like, I'm not saying that was the only time it was there, but part of the problem is sometimes God has to hit me over the head to get my attention. So the second time I'm going to talk about, this hymn isn't in the Sing Joyfully book because I looked already. So when I was at Yorktown, Cindy Osgood, and a lot of you know her, was the pastor there then. I'd started the process of becoming a local pastor before, and I'd gotten really ill and stopped. And so I had talked to Cindy about restarting that. And she and I met with David Byram, and David, you know, said, well, where are you at in the process? And I said, well, I've done this, this, and this, and here's where we're at. And David said, well, I've got a church I'd like to appoint you to. Are you ready for that? Now, I wasn't really expecting that at lunch that day. I thought we were just chatting about something that was going to happen in the future, not like 6 weeks from then. That was not the future I was looking at. I was looking for a lot farther down the road future. And so he looked at Cindy, and Cindy said, oh yeah, he can do that. And I'm looking at Cindy going, no, he can't. I didn't say that loud, but I'm thinking, no, he can't. Who are you talking about? And so what David said was, I'd like for you to pray about it over the weekend and then call me Monday and let me know. So I said, okay. So I go home, talk to Benita. Just by chance, that Sunday, I'm the liturgist at Yorktown. So the liturgist there doesn't really lead singing, but they'll do the scripture verse and whatever the pastor wants you to do. And so I was doing whatever it was Cindy wanted me to do. And I was pretty much done to the end. I don't remember if we had communion, but during prayer time, I came to the altar rail and prayed about it because I wasn't really sure what I was supposed to do. And when I was done at the altar rail, I still wasn't really sure what I was supposed to do. So we finished the service and we're singing the last hymn. So here's the last hymn. The last hymn is one called Here I Am, Lord. Okay? Now, it's one of my favorite ones. I really like it. And it starts out, I, the Lord of sea and sky, have heard my people cry. And then it goes on. But the chorus, this is the chorus. So keep in mind what I'm trying to decide here. The chorus is it I, Lord? Have you heard me calling in the night? I will go, Lord, if you lead me. I will hold your people in my heart. Now, even I, who can be hard-headed, I'm going, oh, man. Did Cindy pick that out just for me to talk me into this? Or did God just like whap me over the head with a hammer going, okay, I've given you the best direction I can. I've literally picked the song that applies directly to this purpose. And so we were done with the service and everyone was gone from church. I said, Cindy, I have a question for you. I said, did you pick that song this week because you knew what I was thinking about? She said, no, I picked that like 5 weeks ago. I always pick my music out about 4 weeks ahead. And I said, okay. She goes, well, what are you going to do? And I said, well, clearly in the song it says I'm supposed to do this. So even I could recognize when God is telling me this is what you're supposed to do. Now, I don't always do that, but at least on this one occasion I did. And so to me, what the Holy Spirit does sometimes, it encourages us, guides and directs us in what we're supposed to do. Now, again, I don't know that I always do that, but at least on this one instance, he literally hit me in the head with the book and said, hey, I can't make this any more direct to you. Do you get it? Okay, I got it. All right? The question for us is, when that Spirit of God is around us, guiding us, directing us, leading us, whatever it's doing, are we paying attention? Are we open to that? Or, and I've done this before, so I don't mind to tell stories on myself, Or do I go, boy, Annie sure heard from God on that. Hope she was paying attention, because surely he wasn't talking to me. And I don't know what Shirley's got to do with this, but it wasn't paying. I just overheard a message. So we have to be open to that spirit for God and guidance and direct us to lead us. So the reason I told you all that was to tell you this. Sometimes you just have to be quiet and listen to what God wants you to do. And we live in a world now that's pretty noisy. I mean, there aren't very many times that there isn't something going on. And so take time somewhere in your life, whether it's morning, noon, night, whatever, and give God a chance to tell you what God wants you to do. And let him guide and direct you the way that he wants to guide and direct us. Amen?